My question this morning is, let's just start with this. Do you know what an idiom is? Not an idiot, but an idiom. An idiom is a phrase, right, that contains words that don't actually mean what the definition of each word together doesn't mean that. Like raining cats and dogs. You know, that's an idiom. It's not literally raining cats and dogs. You know, you hit the nail on the head. You know, it has to be understood by all of us of what that means, because there is times when you hit the nail on the head, but when I say it as an idiom, it means bingo, you got it, right? You nailed it. You're that's true. What you're thinking, what you just said is absolute truth. You hit the nail on the head. An idiom that has come to me, and because I have lived in this world, because I really have lived in this world for the last 3 or 4 months, an idiom that keeps coming back to me that has grabbed my attention is this: you lie like a rug. You lie like a rug. And you can add it, you lie like a cheap rug. You know, you lie like a rug. It doesn't mean you lay down on the floor and sprawl yourself out. It means that you're always lying. And as to be honest, I as I read or as I listen, as I participate in this world and what it's doing and where it's going, I have the idiom that keeps coming to my mind: you're lying like a rug. That's just a lie. You're lying to me. So I've got on this journey of lying. Not personally trying to better myself at lying. I'm on this journey to figure out why we lie. What happens when we lie? And I know that it's something that we all may deal with, our families deal with, our kids deal with. And so I've been on this journey over the past few weeks of uncovering the magnitude of lying. What does lying do? What is it? Why is it so prevalent? What can we expect from it? What are the repercussions of it? Why does it come so easy to us? Why do we lie? And so I'm on this journey, and just so you know, every time I go on a journey, I drag you with me. I drag you with me for the next 30 minutes or so. I'm going to drag you with me. I just want to uncover some of the things that I have discerned. We've kind of been on a journey here to beef up our families. Now, to the I will statements and kind of the household rules from last week to beef up your family. And as I think about the amount of lies that are in this world, that are in us, then maybe you don't even know that you believe, but they're there and you believe them. And maybe you speak a lie, and maybe your children, you're wrestling with that with your kids right now. So I want to invite you along on this journey. And I started to search out what is the benefits or what are the ramifications of lying. And so I do what every good red-blooded American will do. I ask Google. You know, I started with Google and I said this. I said, why do we lie? You know, it's interesting when you start to type something out in Google, it tries to finish your statement for you. And I find it interesting that they come up with a whole page. When you start with lying, it comes up with a whole page. Oh, this is a suggestion for you to research. And so I started to just let that do that for me. I started just start the word and picks the next phrase that it's trying to entice me to go to. And I started to read. I read opinions of people, and all the way from psychological evaluations to professors to all different types of literature, I began to read on lying. And I find it interesting that one article says this: society plays fast and loose with the truth. That's kind of their go-to statement. Society just does that. Society plays fast and loose with the truth, which is a cool way of saying society lies. And so that article was interesting to me. I'm not done processing that article before, but yet. So, but I'm interested in knowing more what they mean by that. But that's a statement that this world puts out there. And then it goes in, and I read some articles on with a statement like this: lying damages our mental health. It just damages our mental health. Now, I'm not searching only faith-based stuff. I'm searching all kinds of things. Psychology Today. I'm reading some of the professors that teach sociology or psychology. And one is making the statement that it damages our mental health. But then the next one says society is just the way society is. So society really doesn't care, apparently, about your mental health. Because society just plays fast and loose with the truth. Just the way it is. Other ones would say lying destroys, kind of their taglines. Lying creates such things as anxiety and confusion and anger. See, I have a poster in my office that says, "Don't spend time solving the wrong problem." And so when I'm angry or someone's angry, is there a lie attached to that? Is there something going on? Because it says that lies will produce anxiety. And it's an intricate working, and I don't even understand it, so I can't proclaim it up here why that does that. We'll uncover that maybe more as we go through this journey of lying. But I read an article that really intrigued me. It's from UC Berkeley, and it says this. This is the article is entitled this: "What's Good About Lying?" Now, at least it agrees with society, right? And it agrees. So we're going to not only strive to not lie, we're going to try to pick out the good of lying. So they start the journey on this article, and I just want to read some of it to you this morning. Most research suggests that children develop the ability to lie around the age 3. By age 5, almost all children will lie to avoid punishment or chores. They label that antisocial lying. I find that phrase interesting. Antisocial, that they are told for personal gain only. That's an antisocial lie. So they've kind of broke down the lies in this article. Then this is definitely an antisocial. You're just telling that for your personal gain. So they've labeled this one sort of lying only personal gain. Antisocial lying. So here we go. And a minority will sporadically tell pro-social lies. I find that very interesting. Here's a pro-social, so this will help society. It's pro-social. It's not anti-social, it's a pro-social lie. So there are lies, even though our articles are saying, oh, they'll damage your mental health and they'll do it. Now, wait a minute, we're just not trained enough to know that some lies are pro-social. You're going to stick with me here, man. I'm going to get to the Word of God here in just a minute. But I have to do this. I have to understand. I want to understand the Word of God, and I want to understand society and people. Because when I think I can understand the Word of God and society and people, now I can melt those two things together better. So I'm not preaching irrelevant messages. Because I happen to think that the Word of God is applying to 2020, July 26, 2020, and I think it speaks directly to that. So I want to know what's going on in society. I want to know how we're handling it. I want to know what the society is being told. I want to know what our kids are being told. And our kids are being told by a professor at a university that has 35,000 students that there are antisocial lying. And then, wait a minute, there's pro-social lying. Then it goes on to say, from the age of 7 to 11, they begin to reliably lie. I find that. To protect other people or to make them feel better. And they'll start to consider pro-social lying as justified. So, okay, by the time your child reaches 7 years old to 11 years old, now they've realized that this pro-social lying has a benefit, and it's dealing with other people. You got to be caring about what you're saying. So it goes on to say this. They're not just telling white lies, okay? So now we have a white lie, a pro-social lie, and an anti-social lie. So far in this article, that's what we have. So now we have this lying grid, and I gotta start learning the grid. Where's the white lies, and where's the anti-social lies, and where's the pro-social lies? Stick with me here. Listen to what they say. They're not just telling white lies to please adults. The research to date suggests that they are motivated by strong feelings of empathy and compassion. Interesting. These children are lying. They say some people lie because they are compassionate. And they're lying because they have empathy for those people. So they have come to the conclusion that lying is best. By the time 7 to 11 is what it says. And the article goes on to say this, why should that be the case? What is going on in the child's mind and body that allows them this capacity to develop? See, the develop is mean knowing when that there's a white lies and there's anti-social lies and there's pro-social lies. And man, your child is growing up. They know when to. Oh, they're feeling empathetical. So here's a place, bing, 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 in my heart, in my truth category, all of a sudden in my brain, in my heart, my soul, says lie. Because you're empathetic. Because you're compassionate. You must lie. That's disturbing to me. What does this development arc reveal about human beings? See, I wouldn't want to pick it up. It's got a dash here in the article. I don't want to pick it up. That we have a sin nature. That's not where they go. And how we take care of each other. That's what a recent wave of study has started to uncover. Taken together, this research points to one message. Sometimes lying can reveal what's best in people. Pro-social lying. Pro-social lying says you're compassionate. Pro-social lying says that you're empathetic. Pro-social lying says that can bring out the best in people. How we learn to lie. First, the ability to lie reflects the developmental milestone. This is continuing the article. I'm not bringing the whole article, but I'm bringing some major points. Young children are acquiring a theory of mind. So it got me off on a rabbit trail what a theory of mind is. Basically, a theory of mind is this, that you know that somebody else thinks different than you do. You begin to learn that someone thinks differently than you do. So all of a sudden, I know that I'm thinking different than what they are. And they can't read my mind. Theory of mind. They can't read my mind, so I can tell them anything I want. Because they can't read my mind. And they don't know what I'm really feeling or really what's going on in my life. So now, bing, 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 my soul says lie. It's disturbing to me. The theory of mind, which is a psychology's way of describing our ability to distinguish our own beliefs, intents, desires, and knowledge for what they might be in the minds of other people. So now I can say, if I say this, you're going to think this, and then all of a sudden you're having a conversation with yourself. That's a horrible thing to do, just so you know. Don't have a conversation with yourself about a conversation you're going to have, because you're not that smart. Okay? You don't know what the other person is going to say, but you play it all out in your mind. I'm going to say this, and then they're going to say that. And then I'm going to say this, and then they're going to say that. And then I'm going to say this, and they're going to say that. So that when you actually have a conversation with a person, you've already got it all laid out. And if it doesn't go your way, you're all messed up. And then you get mad because it didn't go your way. For crying out loud, stop. Antisocial lying appears earlier than pro-social lying in children because it's much simpler. It's similar to antisocial lie. Developmentally, it's simpler developmentally. It mainly requires an understanding that adults can't read your mind. If you can't read my mind, I can say anything I want. And I can have some antisocial lying going on. But wait a minute. But pro-social lying needs more than just theory of mind. It requires the ability to identify the suffering of other people, empathy, their words, and a desire to alleviate suffering, compassion. So you, there again, you've got to lie. I'm disturbed. More than that, even it involves anticipation of our words or our actions might cause suffering in a hypothetical future. Thus, pro-social lying reflects the development of the combination of memory and imagination and allows us to foresee the consequences of our words. Basically, it's saying this, Eddie's lying to his grandmother about her Brussels sprout casserole. That's definitely a pro-social lie. So he's getting so smart. He's so compassionate to his grandmother. He's so empathetical. He wants the best for his grandmother. So at age 11, he has been programmed, so to speak, to offer his grandmother a lie about her Brussels sprout casserole. Really, that's what it's saying. Another study, continuing in the same article, another study published last year in the Journal of Experimental Child Psychology. Don't you like that? Experimental Child Psychology. You anyway want to volunteer their children for that program? Found that children who told pro-social, listen to this, who told pro-social lies have higher performance measuring of working memory and inhibitory control. You know what that means? That means you can pick and choose what you want. This especially is helpful to control leakage in the psychologist's world. It's leakage is the conscious, the term inconsistent. Don't have any inconsistencies in your fake story. Your inhibitory control can step in and say, oh, don't say that. Bing, bing, bing. Don't say that. Because if you say that, that's truth. And that's going to mess up your lie. What a shame. I know you come this morning for a sermon, not a psychology lesson. But sorry, I drug you into my psychology lesson. Continuing in the article, it says this. To tell a pro-social lie, a child's brain needs to, listen to this, this is a good one, needs to juggle many balls. Dropping one and the lie will be discovered. Some children are just simply better truth jugglers than others. A cool way of saying some children are better at lying than others. They can juggle the truth better. For crying out loud, you wouldn't want to tell the truth. But you got to know what balls to keep in the air. That's going to be exhausting. I was arrested along with about two other 17-year-olds one time doing what 17-year-olds should not be doing. We were outside the parameters of the law. And all of a sudden, when you're outside the parameters of the law and a law enforcement officer is in the picture, he introduces himself to you. He was very nice, but he had a big shiny gold and silver thing. It's called a badge. He said, what are you doing? Well, I stepped up, and I thought maybe this would be at least a good way. Now, I didn't know then, but maybe it would be a good way to have a pro-social lie. See, I don't want to burden his evening with all these arrest warrants for three 17-year-olds, so I'm only thinking about him. And so I began this story, and I'm, what, where were you, what'd you do, where's the gun, I'm juggling this, all of a sudden he just simply says, I think you're lying to me. I said, wait a minute, what ball did I drop? I thought it was a great story. I thought I was doing wonderful in juggling. And some say, oh, you're not a good enough juggler. You don't know how to lie good enough. Some kids are better at it than others, is what the articles say. Kids also gradually become more likely, here it is, to tell blue lies. Wait a minute, now we have a white lie. Now we have an antisocial lie. Now we have a pro-social lie. And now we have a blue lie. All in the same article. I'm not making up this stuff. This is the world. 35,000 students at this university that are learning this stuff, that are making sense. They think this makes sense to me. Here's a blue lie. A blue lie basically is that you will lie on behalf of someone else so that the even if it costs you, you won't, you'll lie to save someone else. You'll lie to save a parent that's been in trouble or something, and the kid is asked to tell the truth. Where was dad or where was mom or what happened inside the house or what happened to you? And all of a sudden, their little minds and hearts go through all this kind of stuff. They start juggling. The music starts going on in their mind. And all of a sudden, a blue lie comes out. And they lie that dad didn't do this or mom didn't do this. Because in their souls, it says this is best. I'm going to tell a blue lie. Almost done with the article. Listen to this. This all might seem overly complex. I thought it made perfect sense. More so than the simple prescription, listen, the simple prescription of do not tell a lie. That's too simple, the writer of the article says. The trouble with a do not lie prohibition is that children can plainly see that lying is ubiquitous or it's everywhere. And as they grow, they discover that all lies have this, not all lies have the same motivation or impact. How are we supposed to understand the nuances or the differences and communicate them to our children? You just got to teach your kids how to juggle better. You can have a white ball in there, and you can have a blue ball in there, and you can have a pro-social ball in there. You just got to learn to juggle better, kids. Because lying is everywhere. You're not going to get on beyond it. You got to lie. You live in a lying world. Society plays loose and fast with the truth. If you're going to make your way in this world, you got to learn to lie. And just so you know, my definition of a lie is a half-truth is a whole lie. And let me add to that, if you withhold truth that you know is truth, but it would alter the desired outcome that you're trying to get to and you don't share that truth, that is a lie. And our world is so upside down that we're starting to teach our kids, you just got to know when to juggle the balls. In fact, the argument for pro-social lies is the same as one against the anti-social lies. Other people's feelings is what matters. And empathy and kindness should be our guide. That's the way the article ends. So you're telling me that my moral code of how I view other people determines whether I lie or not. No wonder the world lies, because they don't give a care about other people. I am lying for your own good. That's the conclusion I got to come to from that article. I am lying for your own good. The truth is not good for you, so I'll decide what is good for you, and I'll tell you what you need to hear to come to my preferred end. Because, Grandma, you don't need to add less salt in your Brussels sprout casserole. You just need to feel good. I've determined that. So the world determines what is best for us. And then they start the juggling act, and so that you and I can be consumers of what they are trying to get to be the preferred end of theirs. You do it too, I do it too. So there is at least white lies, pro-social lies, anti-social lies, and blue lies. Let me sing the song again. Even your kids can know that lying is everywhere. They're never going to get anywhere if they tell the truth. Isn't that disturbing? So all that to get to the message for today. And just so you know, I left out two-thirds of the article, which supports everything that they've already said. You can read it. Why is lying good? UC Berkeley. You can look it up. Ask Google. It'll be one of the choices that comes up. I know that because that's what happened to me. I am disturbed about that. I've got to determine what's best for you. I can't just blurt out the truth. I can't just tell somebody the truth. I've got to evaluate the whole situation. I've got to run it through the blue, the anti, the pro, and the white system that I got. I've got to keep the right balls in the air. I've got to have compassion and empathy. I've got to determine somebody's preferred end conclusion, and I've got to come back here and start to introduce the lies to get them to that and conclusion, which I predetermined. But then I went to the Bible, which, by the way, was not one of the choices in the Google search. I don't know if I'm disturbed about that or just that's the way it is. I get that. But then I just looked up a simple verse, and it's on your papers for this morning, and it's Leviticus 19:10 and 19:11. It says this: do not lie, do not deceive one another. And I said, wait a minute, God, don't you want to mean pro-social or anti-social? Or are you meaning white, blue, or black? I don't know what you're meaning there, God. Why don't you want me to lie? Why do you plainly say, do not lie? And if you could read that in the Hebrew, you know what it would mean? Do not lie. You know what the Hebrew word is for lie? Lie. Do not tell a false truth. Do not lie. I don't care if it's blue or if it's pro-social, anti-social, or if it's white. I don't care. Don't lie. I found it interesting that the Bible basically says in two words or three words, do not lie. And I said, why, God? Why? I live in a world that's full of lies. Even my 11-year-old children in New Life can know that they're surrounded by lies and they're never going to get anywhere in life unless they lie, because everyone else around them is lying. Why is it so simple in the Word of God? Why does it say, do not lie? And so I invited me, obviously, on in. And in your sermon outline, the blanks are just simply this: lying. You can just write the word lying in every one of those. Let me tell you why I think the Bible says don't lie. Why I think the Bible supersedes UC Berkeley. Why do I think the Bible comes above society? Why? Because it's God that's writing it. And I trust His Word. And His Word is truth. I know that it might be troublesome. I know that I live in a world of lies. I know that people are trying to feed me a line of lies to get me to a preferred end. I know that. But it doesn't have to include me. I've often said in my own life and helping other people, you're not going to clean up this water by adding more mud. The Bible says, do not lie, do not deceive one another. Do not lie, do not deceive one another. Not pro-social, not blue, not white, not any of that. No, you don't have to worry about that, you only got the truth. And see, sometimes I think I lie because I'm not saturated in love and I can't speak the truth in love. And so rather than loving God more and helping Him love me, love people more, I choose to lie because it's easier to lie than it is to love people. And I know, listen, I need to get moving. But I'm cranked. I'm ready to hear truth. I'm ready to speak truth. I don't want to learn to juggle. I don't want my grandchildren to learn to juggle. I don't want your children to learn to juggle. But at the same time, I know we live in a world that treats truth loosely. So here, let's go down through these. This is where I come to. God, why don't you want me to lie? Why do you say that, God? Do not lie. In Proverbs 6, 16 through 19, there are six things that God hates. Just so you know, the word hates there means that are an enemy of God. Well, because you say, well, God says in the Bible he hates. What he's saying is, these things are my enemy. These things are the things that I hate. They are things that are my enemy, that are trying to do something outside of what I want done in my creation. I spoke this creation into existence. I knitted you together in your mother's womb. I did this. God is the creator. God is the sustainer. God is the provider. And he says, I want you to know what in this world that you live in goes against what I want in this world for you. Does that make sense this morning? Might be afternoon by now. There are six things that God hates. Seven things that are detestable to him. You know what the word detestable means? Finds disgusting. It nauseates him. It makes him sick. Not only are they my enemies, he said, they make me sick. Why do I not want my creation to lie? Listen what he says. Haughty eyes and a lying tongue. You know what that means in the Hebrew? You told a lie with your tongue. I tried to look for some loopholes. I wanted to give everybody three balls. One with a P on it, one with an A on it, and one with it was blue. And I wanted just to start learning how to juggle. So we can juggle the truth and know when to lie. It might be easier. It's just everybody expects you to lie. We live in a world that lies. And God says, just so you know, lying makes me sick. Lying is my enemy. So I get this written on my blotter and I wrote it on my notes. So God loves me, but my talk makes him want to vomit. Hang with me, New Life. I'm so glad that we have a gracious God that tells us what's his enemy and what makes him sick. And in his love and his grace for us, he said, I just want you to know that a lying tongue makes me sick. And a lying tongue circumvents the things I want for you. A lying tongue will run you places where I don't want you to go. A lying tongue, those lies that you believe for years inside of you, they need to be rooted out of you because they're making the calls in your life. The lies that you're hearing now, the lies that you're speaking right now, they're not going the way, they're not taking you the way I want you to go. They're taking you over the cliff. They're taking you into the mud. They're taking you into the mire, and they're going to drown you. They are my enemy. So I simply say, do not lie, because I don't want you to be an enemy of me. And I don't want your lying tongue to sicken me. So that's number one, lying sickens God. May agree with the world, but it sickens your God. John 8, 44 says, you belong to your father. And Jesus is talking the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. There is no truth in him. As a matter of fact, when he lies, he speaks his native tongue. For he is a liar and the father of lies. Lying is the language of the enemy. It is the language of the counterfeiter. The list, part of the list, is on your sermon outline. It's on the deceiver. He is the promoter of pride. He is the blinder of people's minds. He is the ruler of the darkness. He is the suppressor of the word of God. He is the hinderer, the oppressor, the troubler, the creator of division, the tempter, and he is the stimulator of disobedience, and he is the destroyer. And when you lie, you speak his native tongue. And I've shared this story before, but when I was walking around the streets of Jerusalem years ago, and in the market and looking for things to buy, just being the experience of being in Jerusalem. And I'm with a couple other redneck Americans over there. And we're conversing back and forth, but we're not the common language in the middle of Jerusalem. And there's a lot of other languages going around in and out of those narrow, very narrow streets of Jerusalem with all the markets going on there. And all of a sudden, from down one alley, I heard somebody say something in redneck English. And instantly, all three of us that were together, we went and we looked down the alley because there was somebody down there like us. When we heard our language, we were attracted to our language. I'm telling us, when the enemy hears his language, he is attracted to you. You are inviting the enemy into your life. You are speaking his language. No wonder God hates it. Lying attracts the enemy. And maybe we could teach our three-year-olds, we don't lie because it sickens God. We don't lie because it attracts the enemy. That's powerful stuff right there. No wonder God says don't lie. Not pro-social, not anti-social, not white or blue. Don't try to juggle the truth. The truth needs to be in your life and needs to be spoken from you into life. Because when you speak lies, you speak the native tongue of the divider. Of the destroyer, and he's going to come into your life. Listen, he may not cause you to lie, but your lying and my lying will invite him into your life. I believe that with everything that I am. Colossians 3:9 says this, do not lie to each other since you have taken off the old self and its practices. Lying is part of your old self. Lying is part of your old self. Lying is not part of the new creation that Christ has created you to be. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. It's not part of the new, it's part of the old. He said, you've stopped lying to one another because that's part of your old self. And when you start lying and you continue to lie, you resurrect the old self. And believe you, baby, you don't want the old self resurrected. He said, you need to take off that lie because God loves you. Because God's got a plan for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. That you may have eternal life. And that eternal life, according to John 17:3, is that you have this intimacy with God. That's part of the new life. That you'll have this intimacy with God. And he says that when you lie, it's part of the old self. No wonder we're having trouble in our lives sometimes. Because we're living a lie. Because we're speaking lies. Because we got half-truths when it are whole lies. Because we're burying the truth and not allowing the truth to come. Therefore lying. And all of a sudden, the enemy is attracted. You're sickening God. And all of a sudden, the old self gets resurrected. And you're ebbing and flowing in your faith. Could it be all from a lie? I think so. One more here. A lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin. A lying person hates and hurts those around them. I don't have compassion and empathy for grandma. The Bible says I hate and I hurt. Why? Because I am speaking a lie into her very presence. Because I am speaking a lie. It doesn't, a lie is manifestation of sin. It's not, listen, it's not the manifestation of compassion. In lying, the enemy is invited. You're inviting the enemy into someone else's life. Just so you know, that makes me mad. And you lie and you invite, and I lie and I invite the deceiver into your life. I invite him into my family's life. I lie and I invite the ruler of darkness. I lie and I invite the suppressor of the word of God. And I lie and I lie and I lie, and all of a sudden I'm inviting the tempter and the stimulator of disobedience and the destroyer. I'm lying and I'm just continue to invite the enemy into my life. Don't let the tumbleweeds distract you. They're $59 a piece. I'm thankful for the guys that rescued them. But this is $5,900 worth of truth. Lying will invite the enemy into someone else's life. Lying sickens God. Lying resurrects the old you. Lying invites the enemy into your life. You see, Berkeley, you got it wrong. Let me end with this. 11 words that I think will change it all. It's in the little scroll thing on your notes. It's Psalm 120, verse 2. And the psalmist is saying this, I think, about himself and about those around him. This is what I want. I want us to commit to the next week or the next 2 weeks or the next month. Just simply pray this prayer to ourselves and for ourselves. This simple prayer. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. That's what I want, God. Because I don't want to sicken you. Because I don't want to attract the enemy into my life. I don't want to attract the enemy into someone else's life. And I certainly don't want to resurrect the old me. Frankly, you wouldn't like the old me. So God, here we are, God. Here's new life. Deliver me, deliver us, O Lord, from lying lips and from the deceitful tongue. Help us to honor you, God. God, thank you for these moments together. And I knew when I left my desk that this was going to be a journey to get to these points. But this world is so jacked up, God. And I know that there's lies all around us. Help us not to become better jugglers. Help us to become in this deeper, more intimate relationship with you. That you would give us what we prayed for this morning. That you would give us, you would deliver us, O Lord. Deliver us from lying lips. Deliver us from a deceitful tongue. God, deliver me from lying lips. Deliver me from a deceitful tongue. God, I confess, I'm sorry. that there has been parts of my life. Deliver me today. Deliver our families. Deliver our 3-year-olds. Deliver us, God, from lying lips. Deliver us from a deceitful tongue, that we may grow in truth. And as we grow in that truth, the truth will set us free. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your work on the cross. God, thank you for eternal life. Thank you for wanting a desiring, intimate relationship with us. Thank you that you tell us simply, do not lie. So, Father, in Jesus' name, help us stand strong. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. Have an amazing day.